It's hard to read the news these days without asking yourself, how did we get here? Fiasco is a history podcast from the co-creators of Slow Burn. In our first season, Bush v. Gore, we examine an unmistakable turning point in American politics, the 2000 election, which resulted in a high-stakes stalemate, ended with one of the most controversial rulings in Supreme Court history. So if you're trying to make sense of the present moment, check out Fiasco, Bush v. Gore. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. In the aftermath of a transformative election like the one we just had, it's hard to read the news without asking yourself every 5 seconds, how did we get here? That's exactly what we're always trying to figure out on Fiasco, a history podcast from the co-creators of Slow Burn. In our first season, Bush v. Gore, we examine an unmistakable turning point in American politics, the 2000 election, which came down to a recount in Florida ended with one of the most controversial rulings in Supreme Court history. In many ways, it's the beginning of the story we're living through right now. So if you're trying to make sense of the present moment, check out Fiasco, Bush v. Gore, and find out how a statistical tie in the Florida vote count put the nation into an unprecedented holding pattern, during which American voters waited with bated breath to find out whether Al Gore or George W. Bush would be the next president of the United States. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Mama. It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. I have to finish this answer to this question before I get into more of your questions. The next question I'm going to answer, I can't even believe I have to answer it. It's about someone hitting on women at a funeral. It's just hang on a second. But I have to answer the serious one first. Again, he's asking about Disney and China and Disney going all in with the LGBTQ stuff. And so people, when they hear stuff like this from Disney president Carrie Burke, they ask understandable questions. Well, how can Disney still do business with China or Saudi Arabia? Or when they hear things like this, they have questions.
I'm here as a mother of two queer children, actually, one transgender child and one pansexual child. And that was the thing that really got me. I have heard so much from so many of my colleagues over the course of the last couple of weeks. I feel a responsibility to speak, not just for myself, but for them, to all of us. We had an open forum last week at 20th where, again, the home of really incredible, groundbreaking LGBTQIA stories over the years, where one of our execs stood up and said, you know, we only have a handful of queer leads in our content. And I went, what? That can't be true. And I realized, oh, it actually is true. We have many, many, many LGBTQIA characters in our stories. And yet we...
Yeah, I'm not going to let that go on. It's another 45 seconds. Believe me, she tears up at the end at the excitement of pushing this stuff out there. And so people on the right understandably say things all the time. It's not just about Disney, Nike, Hollywood. Well, they do business with China. They don't say this stuff in Saudi Arabia. And there are two answers to this. This is a big one. This first part is by far the biggest one. And we have got to pay attention to this. The groups on the left, the various communist groups in this country, none of them actually care about what they say they care about. The LGBTQ Air Force groups in America don't care about gay rights. It has nothing to do with that. That's not their goal. Antifa. They don't care about anti-fascism. It's not their goal. Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter, if you look at the crime statistics since their defund the police stuff took over, Black Lives Matter is responsible for more black deaths in the United States of America than the Ku Klux Klan and the entirety of their history. Black Lives Matter doesn't care about black people. They've made life a living hell for black people in urban areas. Climate change people. How can Barack Obama talk about climate change and then build a huge mansion right on the ocean? On and on and on. Pick your issue. Feminists. Why won't feminists speak out about the trans swimmers? Feminists don't care about women. They're all the same group. They're not different groups. They're all the exact same group with the exact same goal. And the goal has nothing to do with gay people or climate change or black people or women. It's the same group. And the group's goal is the destruction of what it views as the great evil, the United States of America. Their goal is to destroy the country. If you take some LGBTQ nutter here in the United States of America and they work for, let's say they work for Disney, and they're talking about, man, I can't wait to make every character gay. And then they don't do that in China. You're tempted to say, whoa, that's hypocrisy. It's not hypocrisy. They're not interested in destroying China. They're interested in destroying us. It's not hypocrisy. Of course there are two different sets of rules. They're very, very interested in destroying this place. They don't have secondary goals. That's one. You have to remember, it's not hypocrisy to have all these nut jobs in place at Disney. It's not hypocrisy at all.
I've had the privilege of working with the Moon Girl team for the last 2 years, and they've been really open to exploring queer stories. And part of, I'm on the production side, part of the work that I feel like I can put in is making sure that we take place in modern day New York. So making sure.
Yeah, you get the idea. Well, how could that guy work for Disney and then they do business, all this business with Saudi Arabia where they'll kill gay people? That guy doesn't care about gay people. That guy cares about destroying the country. The LGBTQ wing of the communists here in America, they have a very important role in destroying America. Their role is to destroy the family unit, which in and of itself would be enough to destroy the country. That would be enough. If we can break up family units, make that a permanent thing, then America doesn't stand a chance. Without a strong family unit, we don't stand a chance. I don't care if we have the best policies, best politicians in the world, we have no chance. That guy doesn't care what they're doing to gay people in Saudi Arabia. He's not a gay activist. He's an anti-American activist. All these communists are. That's one part of this. But there is a second part of this, and this is something that you have to understand and I have to understand. We have got to understand this very, very, very well. Let's talk about Saudi Arabia and Disney. Let's talk about China and Disney. Okay, let's focus on Saudi Arabia here for a moment. Disney does all this business for Saudi Arabia. They don't pull this stuff in Saudi Arabia. They'd never push this stuff in Saudi Arabia. Okay, you're right. Why? Why don't they push it in Saudi Arabia? Because Saudi Arabia demands that the corporations within its borders bend to the culture of the nation itself. And so Saudi Arabia would never allow Disney to pull that in Saudi Arabia, because Saudi Arabia would bulldoze Disney to the ground if they attempted to do so, as we should do. It is perfectly within the rights of a country, even a free one, to demand the corporations who do business within its borders do not become, I mean, gosh, what do we want to call them? Insurgents? That's really, Chris, that's a good word for it, right? I don't know that there's a better word for it. You have every right as a country, as a sovereign nation, to demand the companies who do business within your borders conform to your cultural values. Oh, but Disney would never pull this crap in Saudi Arabia. Yeah, you're learning the wrong lesson from that. Saudi Arabia would never allow them to. We not only allow them to, we encourage them to. Do you have any idea what Saudi Arabia would do if Disney Saudi Arabia came out with stuff like this?
I worked at small studios most of my career, and I'd heard, you know, hear whispers. Like, I'd heard things like, oh, you know, they won't let you show this at a Disney show. And I'm like, okay. So I was a little, like, sus when I started. But then my experience was bafflingly the opposite of what I had heard. The showrunners were super welcoming. Meredith Roberts and like our leadership over there has been so welcoming to like my like not at all secret gay agenda. And so like I feel like I felt like it was, I mean, like maybe it was that way in the past, but I guess like something must have happened in the last like they're turning it around, they're going hard. And then all that like momentum that I felt, like that sense of, I don't have to be afraid. Let's have these two characters kiss. Let's in the background, this, like I was just wherever I could, just basically adding queerness to like, the, if you see anything queer in the show, I'm proud of them. But like, I just was like, no one would stop me and no one was trying to stop me.
It's so fun. I'm going to add queerness everywhere I can and pour it into your kids' faces. Why doesn't she do that in Saudi Arabia? Why doesn't she do that in Saudi Arabia? Because she'd do that about once in Saudi Arabia. Now, that's not me defending, criminalizing that kind of stuff, but that is me saying a country has every single right to demand a corporation not be subversive to its cultural values. We have somehow gotten away from that here out of, I think we lose sight of what freedom actually is in this country. We still have a culture, or at least we used to. We still have values. We still have things we can and should stand for. We don't have to stand for this anymore. I mean, honestly, people, do you have any idea what I would do to Disney if I was in charge of the United States of America right now? If this was already the Republic of Jesse and we've broken off, we've started our own republic, and now we have a corporation that has dedicated itself to destroying children, I'd have already fired everybody from Disney World, emptied out the park, and I'd have already dropped a Moab on the place. I'd have tanks rolling over Mickey Mouse's statue in Disney World if I found out a corporation was dedicating itself to destroying children. It's time to start being more purposeful. All right. Somebody wants to know about hitting on women at a funeral. I'm going to address that here in just a moment. Look, these corporations, it's time to also starve them of our money. Starve them of our attention. It is time to make them feel pain in the pocketbook. And it's time to start taking corporations who don't do that and making sure they get our business. Where do you have your mobile service? Is it Verizon? Is it AT&T? Is it T-Mobile? Go look at T-Mobile's ads. I think T-Mobile still has a vaccine mandate in place where they're firing people. You know where you never hear any of this filth? Pure Talk. They're on the same 5G network as all those other guys, as one of those big guys. The coverage is incredible. The average family saves a fortune, over $800 a year. American customer service. When you call, you talk to an American. How about that? Their CEO is a Vietnam veteran. And it takes less than 10 minutes to switch. From your cell phone, dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly, and you'll save an additional 50% off your first month. #250, say Jesse Kelly. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. I'm trying to avoid this Washington Post story about the CDC and mental health because it's Friday, and I like to just smile. Yeah, I like to smile and laugh every day, and I really don't want to blow a gasket, and I'm worried I'm going to blow a gasket on this, so I may save this for Monday, or at least a little bit. So I'm gonna calm down, and I'm just going to answer. Look, I'm going to answer the hard questions because it is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday where we take the whole 3 hours and we answer your questions. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. And this is the tough one here. Jesse, unfortunately, I received a high school alumni email about a death of a girl I apparently went to high school with. Divorced dimes I went to high school with RSVP'd that they're going to the funeral. I don't remember the girl that passed. Do I go to the funeral and flirt with the dimes? It crossed my mind. Okay, one, it's hilarious. The guy actually combed through the RSVP list and found, ooh, divorce dime. Hey there. That's so bad. One, that's terrible you even asked the question. Two, of course you go hit on the dimes. The girl's dead. What does she care? I didn't mean to. Look, Look, what, Chris? It's fine. We can make jokes. We can. He didn't know her, but she's not going to object. She's dead. The Dimes might need comfort. You can run and get him a cup of coffee. Now, I should caution you. You might want to pretend like you know her when you show up. No, yes, you've got to lie a little bit, Michael. I mean, not big lies. Not big lies, little lies. Oh, Sarah. Oh, Sandra? Sandra. I'm just too busted up. I forgot her name. It's fine, but I think it is your God-given right to show up at that funeral and pay your respects. And if you guys end up, everyone going out afterwards and having some Bud Heavies, that's fine. Honestly, that's everyone mourns in their own way. All right? Don Jesse, it's pronounced fentanyl, not fentanyl, from a longtime doctor listener from the 1 hour Houston days. Gosh, that's awesome. I almost wish I could say the guy's name, but I'm not because he didn't tell me I could. It's called fentanyl? I thought it was fentanyl. Well, look, doctor. Okay, don't act like just because I went to community college and you probably went to like a real one that you know more than me, all right? It's fentanyl. You know what? I'm not changing. I'm sticking with fentanyl. I can say whatever I want. It's my show. I'm calling it fentanyl till I'm blue in the face, doctor, in case you don't know what he's talking about the 1 hour Houston days when I was selling RVs. This is 3 years ago. I was an RV sales manager, and my friend Michael Berry, I get to know the guy. He's a big radio guy. And he kind of mentors me along and says, hey, I think you could have a media career. And I decide to throw myself into it and try. I've never done media, but I decide to try it. He ends up getting me a 1 hour show on the great KPRC in Houston, 7 o'clock at night. So obviously 7 to 8 o'clock at night. Now, don't get me wrong, 7, 8 o'clock at night's fine, but that's getting awfully late in the day to have a 1 hour show. So if there's somebody who was listening to that show, because we didn't know anyone was listening, we'd sit down and we just had no idea. We had no idea who was listening at all. We'd sit down and just crank out an hour, and it seemed like it would go by in a flash, and then we'd just get up and go, well, I mean, hopefully this goes somewhere one day. That's wild. Dear Cheeseburger Emperor, I always keep hearing you talk about drinking Bud Heavies. It's my favorite beer as well. My only question is, do you enjoy Budweiser in a bottle or can? Says I can say his name. His name is Ryan. All right, there's an interesting phenomenon I'm going to bring up. And maybe it's applicable to you. Maybe it's not. It'll depend on your situation. But I live in a hot area. I know the show's on all over the country, from New York to L.A., Seattle, Florida, everywhere in between the show is on. St. Louis, you name it. So different people have different climates who are listening. But if you live in an area where it's hot a lot, all my southern listeners will know this. There are pools everywhere. Everyone has a pool. Now, where I grew up in Ohio, till I was 10, I knew one person my entire life that had an in-ground pool. I had a couple buddies that had an above-ground pool. Yes, Chris, not everyone's like Texas. And then get this. We moved to Montana. Man, I might be wrong. I don't know that I ever saw someone with a pool in Montana. Well, you got to think about it. It's 20 below in the wintertime. It's winter for 7-8 months a year. So if you think about the cost of a pool and maintaining a pool, now don't get me wrong, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I knew one or two, but I can't think of it. I can't think of a single friend I knew who had a pool. Well, fast forward to now, I live in Houston, Texas. And while, yes, it's very pleasant here right now, it is just soul-crushing, the heat and humidity down here in the summertime. Chris, stop. Stop defending Texas weather. I love Texas like you love Texas. I moved here on purpose. The weather here is indefensible. Indefensible. All right, so long story short, now it's still new to me. It's still wild to me. Everyone has a pool here. And I mean, it's honestly, I think every other friend I know, now some of them are small, just little place you can get wet in the backyard. And some of them, depending on your financial situation, I guess are huge. I would consider some of these pools to be absurdly huge. But the pool is the norm. It's not something rich people have here. It's the norm in every neighborhood here. You just have a pool. All that changes, like I said, is the size and how nice it is. Now, that was a long way to say this. I have no problem with a Bud Heavy in a bottle, obviously, but when you're around pools, you can't ever have any glass around pools, because if you break glass and any of it gets in the pool, it's a nightmare. You have to drain the entire pool and have it cleaned out. Like, it's a nightmare. So that said, I don't think I've had a Bud Heavy in a bottle in a couple years. I'm not exaggerating, a couple years. It's just very, it's weird how things change in different parts of the country. Like, there's someone listening to the sound of my voice right now in Chicago. They can't make sense of that at all. It sounds very odd, but I'm telling you, you live in a pool environment, you'll walk into gas stations here, you can hardly find bottles in some places. It's just, they track the sales numbers. It's all cans. All right. It is time to have a little Salazar talk, World War II talk, and Joe Biden talk. Hang on. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. If you miss any of the show, and I can't imagine you ever would, who would miss the Shogun, Chris? You can download the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. All right, I've made an executive decision that I'm not going to tackle something tonight. I am going to give you a warning, though. The headline is, this is from the Washington Post. The headline is called, "A Cry for Help. The CDC warns of a steep decline in teen mental health." Okay, I could go through this and go over the statistics for what teenagers have gone through, what our kids have gone through in the past 2 years, but then I would lose my mind, and I don't want to do that to you on a Friday or do that to me on a Friday. It's freaking Friday. It's Friday. That's enough. I am, however, not going to avoid this. So here's what I am going to do. I'm going to ask you for emails. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. And stay on topic with these, please, if you don't mind. If you or someone you know has had mental health and or substance abuse problems, I guess we might as well throw it in there, as horrible as it is, or suicides, you or someone you know, if you've had any experience with that in the last 2 years because of lockdowns, I want you to email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Obviously, just if you want to. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now, here's my warning. On Monday, I am going to tackle this article. And on Monday, we've done something similar to this in the past. It's going to be a heavier, different show, but I believe it is going to be critically important, because on Monday we are going to tell these stories. We are not going to leave these people behind. We're not going to forget about these people. We're not going to forget what was done to these people. We're not just going to move along. Oh, good, the masks are gone. Junior's back in school. Yes, but there's some parent who lost their baby girl to all this nonsense, and they deserve to be heard. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Monday's show. I'm not doing it tonight. I'm not. It's a Friday. We are going to have fun. We're going to talk about serious stuff. But if I start talking about this now, I'm going to blow a gasket. And I don't want to do that to you or me on Friday. Monday's going to be heavy. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Mental health, drug abuse, substance abuse of any kind, suicides, any of these things touched your life because of lockdowns the last 2 years. We want to hear your story. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. All right. Enough of that. I'm already getting mad. I'm not doing it. Not doing it. I'm fine. I'm fine. It's a Friday. I'm fine. Everything's fine. Look, it steams me that these people don't get heard and they've just been forgotten about. That it's just like it never happened. Oh, thank goodness it's over. We beat Corona. No. You caused an inhuman amount of death and destruction for 2 years. You don't get to just move on. No. Nope, I'm not doing it. Back to the emails. Dear Bearded Oracle. I just heard your podcast on the anti-lynching bill. You know where they're going with this. About 6 to 9 months ago, they were trying to charge a white cop for killing a black criminal, saying it was a modern-day lynching. I'd love to hear your comments on this, as I can say his name. His name is Grant. I saw the anti-lynching bill. Virtually every Republican voted for it, too. Listen, this is what that anti-lynching bill was. You know about Joe Biden. You know about Joe Biden's failures.
For God's sake, this man cannot remain power.
You understand about Joe Biden's approval rating. You understand that Democrats are going to take a vicious beating in the midterms. You understand all that. I got that. Now, what are they going to do? If it was you in charge of the Democratic Party and you were looking at the midterm numbers they're looking at and you were looking at the issues they're polling, remember, they poll issues too. This poll's good, this poll's bad. If you were looking at that, because you're a sane person, you would step in and you would say, okay, guys, enough craziness. All right. No, we're not going to be talking to kindergartners about sex anymore. We're officially changing that. We are going to, look, we're going to do some things at the border to get the border more secure. We're going to moderate our language. We're going to stop talking down to people. You would take common sense steps if you could magically become a Democrat. Not that you'd want to be. You would take common sense steps to try to moderate your party to ease the losses in the midterms. But that's you. Communists don't think in that way. They don't have a stop gear. They don't have a reverse gear. And they definitely, definitely don't have a self-examination gear. I mean, we've talked about this before, but Mao, when Mao took over China, and Mao decided to put in this communal farming policy, the Great Leap Forward, he called it, you know, trying to bring China into the modern age and all these other things. Mao puts these policies into place, and they were Mao's policies. And all we have are estimates, because there was so much death we'll never know. But the estimates are Mao killed, just with those policies, well north of 20 to 30 million people. If you did something, and you were purposeful about it, and you killed one person with it, how ravaged with guilt would you be? It'd be horrible, right? You caused someone's death. Now, wrap your mind around being the guy responsible for death on a scale like, I mean, really the world hadn't even seen before. 30, 40 million people? What? Mao didn't think he was the bad guy. In fact, one of Mao's friends, one of his close friends, actually said publicly that these policies didn't really work out and we should make some changes. He didn't even call Mao out by name. Mao had the guy die a very slow death just for saying that, and he had him die the slow death on camera so Mao could watch him die. That's how convinced Mao was that he was right. Now, what's this have to do with Biden and these guys and the lynching bill? They're not going to moderate themselves heading into the midterms because they can't. They don't think like you think. They don't think like I think. These people are aggressively evil and they only know forward. So why would you pass an anti-lynching bill? Well, one, they know the Republican Party is full of weak-kneed losers who would be completely unable to articulate why this is a big stupid waste of time. That's one. Two, what they're going to try to do now, because they can't go backwards, they can't stop, they're going to try to super serve their base heading into the midterms to try to get them outraged and fired up and excited and get out the vote. So you're going to see a bunch of, this is what we're doing for black people, and this is what we're doing for women. Hey, look at our new gay bill. Hey, look at it. It's going to be every single Democrat group, every single Democrat base group. They're going to get super served with stuff you think is insane leading up to the midterms. They're trying to get out the vote. They can't bring themselves to moderate. So what you're going to see is more insanity than even you've seen before. All right. Now, I apparently upset a young mother
So we're going to have to discuss that next. I upset a young mother, and somebody wants to know about sergeants. Someone wants to know about sergeants, NCOs, non-commissioned officers, and why they're so good. Why are they some of the best troops, the backbone of the military? I will explain it in the best way I know how. I don't know that I'm the expert. The best way I know how, I will explain that in just a moment. Back to what we were talking about with Disney and all the insanity. Remember this. Every corporation in this country is not lost. Yes, tons of them are. You could even say most of them are, but not all of them. And when you have a company out there that isn't just, I mean, they don't, it's not just that they're not on the left. They're solidly on the right and constantly out there fighting for the things you want. That's MyPillow. Don't you think that's the place you should get your bedding and slippers and other things, especially when they sell the most quality stuff ever at amazing prices, and especially when the Giza Dream Sheets are on sale for 60% off? How many times have I come on here and told you to buy two sets? Buy two sets so you can always have one on your bed. When one's in the wash, you just put the other set on. Is there a better time to buy two sets than when they're 60% off? They'll give you both of them. Go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener specials and use the promo code Jesse, and you get Giza Dream Sheets 60% off. 60. I'm not making that up. Or maybe you're driving. Just call 800-845-0544.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're going to love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and I do have to play this for you before I get back to the Ask Dr. Jesse question. Someone has a question about NCOs and sergeants and stuff like that, and there's this scumbag columnist for the Washington Post. Her name is Taylor Lorenz, and she's just a world-class trash, always has been. And she sits down with MSNBC and gives an interview, and she breaks down in tears talking about her PTSD.
I've had to remove every single social tie. I had severe PTSD from this. I contemplated suicide. It got really bad. You feel like any little piece of information that gets out on you will be used by the worst people on the internet to destroy your life. And it's so isolating.
And terrifying.
It's horrifying. I'm so sorry.
You're fine. You're
it's overwhelming.
Fine.
It's really hard.
Look, you will know we will be in a good place in the United States of America when almost every corporate media hack breaks down in tears and whines about their PTSD. However much you hate the American media, it's not near enough. However poorly you've treated them, it's not near poor enough. They despise you. They despise me. I swear, we may need that on the permanent soundboard. My heart's pitter-pattering over here right now at the sound of a journalist weeping, crying about her PTSD. Good, go quit, you loser. Dear Oracle, can you please explain the importance of sergeants in World War II? My friend's grandfather served in the ETO during World War II. He told my friend that sergeants are the backbone of the army and did most of the killing. He told a story about how his small unit was advancing up a road in France when they saw a German machine gun crew of two up ahead. His sergeant ordered his men to take cover and then disappeared. A short time later, they heard gunfire, which they recognized as the sergeant's own weapon. Moments later, the sergeant returned with an MG-42, that is a German weapon, with an MG-42 over his shoulders. The sergeant then took his men and retraced his steps so they could see how he snuck behind the Germans and killed them before they could get a shot off. Thank you, and please stop crippling dogs that wander into RVs. That's not right. Says his name. I can use his name. His name is Junior. All right. Look. I'm not the expert on all things military. I can only tell you what I've seen, and I can only tell you what I've read. And when you have people get confused about this, so I'm going to break this down really stupidly. I know we have a bunch of military listeners, so don't roll your eyes. I'm breaking this down because not everyone understands. If you join the military, I want you to think about it like there are two different sides of it. There's the enlisted ranks, And then there's the officer ranks. All right. The officers are going to be the guys who go to college, got to have a college degree, and they go through officer school. And an odd part about all this is, let's say you're some fresh-faced dork straight out of college and you made it through OCS and you're now the lowest ranking officer there is. The lowest ranking officer there is. The snot-nosed goober fresh out of college, he still technically, mind you, outranks the highest ranking enlisted guy there is. I know it's wild. You can have some sergeant major who's been in the Marine Corps for 30 years, seen it all. I mean, medals, you know it. And you can have some butter bar loser straight out of college. And he technically outranks that sergeant major and can tell him what to do. And even if he doesn't tell him what to do, they generally won't. But even if he doesn't tell him what to do, the sergeant major has to salute him and call him sir and stuff. It's an odd relationship. But on the enlisted side, forget about the officers, as we often should. Forget about the officers. Let's focus on the enlisted side for a moment. You also can gain rank there. And once you have gained rank, you start out as an E1, it's called. Then obviously, as you can imagine, the next rank is E2 and E3. But E4 is special. When you go from E3 to E4... That's what I can only speak for Marines. I know the ranks are different in the different branches, but from E3 to E4, that's when you officially become a non-commissioned officer, an NCO. You've seen the Marine Corps dress blues, right? The fancy uniform where all the girls will throw themselves at you and all the other units are jealous they don't have them, those ones. You know how they have blue pants with the dress blues? When you become an NCO, it's actually really cool. You get a red stripe you have to get put on your pants on the outside of your trousers, and it's called the blood stripe. So if you see someone with the blood stripe, he's an NCO. I know, the Marines have such cool stuff. That was one of the cooler moments ever when I had to take my trousers down and get a blood stripe put on. It was sick. And officially, I was a corporal then, and then after corporal was sergeant and whatever. And yes, what they say is the NCOs, they are the backbone of it. Understand that when it comes to combat, if we're talking about infantry combat, I'm not talking about artillery. I'm not talking about any real naval warfare stuff, although that would be applicable in some World War II fights and stuff. But set that aside. I'm not talking about ships. I'm not talking about artillery. I'm not talking about fighter jets. I'm not talking about planes. I'm talking about infantry warfare, the stuff you watch movies about, fighting holes in machine guns and grenades and these kinds of things, the nitty-gritty down-on-the-ground stuff. The NCOs are really the guys who are in charge, and here's why. They're the guys with the experience, and if you have, and you will, you'll have a platoon commander. He'll be an officer. It's almost always a lieutenant of some kind. He's in charge of, let's make this easy, 30 guys. That's a platoon, 30 guys. He's technically in charge of all of them, but he's not going to lead everybody. In fact, lots of them are useless. They don't lead anything. But even if you have a good one who actually wants to lead something, he can't lead everyone. He has to give out orders that have been given to him, and the NCOs have to execute those orders. And the NCOs are the guys with the experience to do it because they've been in for 4 years, 5 years, 6 years. The new guy that's been in a year, he doesn't know what he's doing. Scared kid. The other guy is the one with the experience. That makes sense? Did that make sense, dorks? Did that make sense to you guys? It made sense to you guys. It made sense to them. There we go. All right. See? There. All right. A young mother is upset with me. It is time to address this. Look, maybe she's upset. Maybe she's upset because she is sitting at home and she doesn't have any way to protect herself. Maybe what she needs, Chris, is a hero gun. Maybe her husband has not bought her a hero gun yet. Maybe yours hasn't bought you one yet. Maybe you listen to the Jesse Kelly Show and you haven't bought one for your husband yet. Whatever the case may be, it is time to get a hero gun. It is time. It is a non-lethal gun. They shoot pepper balls 100 miles per hour, and this thing will save your life. And maybe you're not a gun person. It doesn't matter. Anyone can use this thing. It doesn't matter if you hate guns. Anyone can use it. It's just about the size of your cell phone. It's got a laser sight on it. You will hit what you're aiming at. You will debilitate somebody who's attacking you. And you get some money off. If you go to hero2020.com and use the code Jesse, you get a special discount. Hero2020.com, code Jesse. You don't need a concealed carry permit. State restrictions may apply.
Is he smarter than everyone?
Who knows?
Does he think so?
Yeah.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's hard to read the news these days without asking yourself, how did we get here? Fiasco is a history podcast from the co-creators of Slow Burn. In our first season, Bush v. Gore, we examine an unmistakable turning point in American politics, the 2000 election, which resulted in a high-stakes stalemate, ended with one of the most controversial rulings in Supreme Court history. So if you're trying to make sense of the present moment, check out Fiasco, Bush v. Gore. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.